year-old male may be a bit porky and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-511-3535. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
I'm 5'11",
barely 5'4".
I weigh about 170 pounds.
Brown eyes.
Blue eyes.
Brown hair.
Gray hair.
I'm a baseball fanatic.
I'm a wife.
A mom.
A sister.
And a grandfather.
I'm a bodybuilder.
I'm a research analyst.
Small business owner.
Teacher.
Dance fitness instructor.
Film and television actor.
I'm an office clerk.
I'm a copywriter.
I'm a veteran.
I have a prosthetic leg.
I have multiple sclerosis.
I have lupus.
Cerebral palsy.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
I'm blind.
And I'm working in a job I love.
I love.
Because I was given a chance.
Because I was given a chance.
To contribute my skills and talents.
To show my disability is only one part of who I am.
Who I am.
Who I am.
At work, it's what people can do that matters.
For more information, visit whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
You know what? Nobody really likes Mondays, right? Unless your two pro teams, the New Orleans Pelicans and New Orleans Saints, come out with victories on the same day, huh? How about that? Pels winning 107-98, their first win of the regular season. Head coach Willie Green's first win. We played back at the very beginning the celebration in the locker room by the Pels. Head coach Willie Green and his thoughts. We'll hear that from a little bit here as well. Saints getting a 13-10 win. Two bit of bad news already, though, as the team is on its way back from Seattle. Should be close to landing here. But this morning, Will Lutz posting that he suffered a setback in rehab and that he's going to have to shut it down here in 2021. So, Brian Johnson, he is your kicker for the rest of the year, at least for now. Let's see. Can't finish it up here, but he is your kicker. Also, Ian Rappaport announcing, as far as for Will Lutz, he posted this: 2021 has been filled with adversity personally, but the adversity comes, with adversity comes an exciting challenge. Unfortunately, I had a setback during the rehab process that has forced me to shift my focus to being 100% healthy for the long term and shut it down for the season. I want nothing more than to be out there with my teammates, helping us win games. I look forward to doing that when healthy. Thank you to the best fan base in the country for the support and well wishes. We'll be back stronger than ever, and that is Will Lutz. As for the other bit of injury news, Ian Rappaport reporting 3 hours ago that Saints guard Andres Pete is feared to have suffered a torn pec. This per sources. Pete is awaiting an MRI result to confirm the potential season-ending injury, but that's based on the initial exams. So there you go. That gives you an idea of where that happens now, as Throckmorton will likely, and as he came in last night, be your guy to do that. Again, look, this is what the Saints have had to deal with, and dealing with all the adversity and everything. That's why last night it was 13-10. It was not pretty. We will get into the offense here in a quick second. 800-998-1003. Question of the day with the Pels. What did you think, Pels fans, of that game? What do you think specifically, like Herbert Jones and some of the other guys? We'll dive into the Pels a little bit more tomorrow as they play the Hawks here at the Smoothie King Center. But Saints fans, who gets the game ball, who gets a pat on the back, and who has a seat with coach? Is it just Tre'Quan Smith? I'm throwing Marcus Williams in there as well. I know it was one play, but dude, he stopped running and didn't want to hit him. I don't know why you're stuttering your feet, you're slowing down. I don't know what you were waiting for. It's DK Metcalf. The guy is like a running, moving thing of marble. What are you doing? Just pelee him and go through him into out of bounds. I don't understand what Marcus Williams was doing. Anyway, game ball, it's tough. It's tough, huh? I know you can give more than one, but if you could only give one, is it Alvin Kamara or DeMario Davis? Alvin Kamara, 20 carries, 51 yards, 10 receptions for 128. By the way, those 10 receptions, Adam Trautman had 3. Marquez Callaway had 3. Tre'Quan Smith, 1. Juwan Johnson, 1. Kenny Stills targeted 3 times, none. Ty Montgomery targeted once, none. Kevin White targeted twice, none. You've heard the phrase. You are it. You are the offense. Yes, he is the offense. No doubt. For sure. So, there you go. Is Uncle Earl still on hold here? Uncle Earl, what you got for us, bud? Okay, looks like Uncle Earl's not
Hey, good. There.
Hey, bud, how you doing?
Hey, good, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, Goose, I told you it was going to be close, man. Didn't I tell you?
Yeah.
You was nervous, huh? I told you. And hey, is there anybody we can get out in free agency that can catch the damn ball? Anybody? Can we get it? Is Jerry Rice available at 70 years old? He can come out there and catch the damn ball.
I thought Ocho Cinco that said he can come out there and play right now? It was somebody. No, not
Bring
Ocho Cinco. Who was
Bring
it? It was somebody that said they can go out there and play. I'll be honest with you. At this point, somebody suggested earlier today to me, do you try to make the trade for Odell Beckham Jr.? It hasn't worked out in Cleveland. And I'm not, look, you know me, I don't know if that guy's as much mental as physical. He doesn't look anywhere near the same. And anybody that...
Who gives a rat?
Yeah, I is that where you are at this point? You don't care.
Yeah,
what
that's
they
where
do.
We are, Gus. I mean, it's painful. Man. Gus, when Trautman fumbled the ball, it reminded me of Jared Cook so bad on that third quarter drive. We driving down, and here we go again. Mm-hmm. You need to cut his ass. Get him out of there. He's doing nothing. He's doing and Kamara's going to get worn. Look, Gus, we got to get some people back, and then we don't know if like Smith coming back. You know, you don't know if these guys are going to be in games. He didn't know what he was doing last night. Then he looked like he was playing defense on offense when he got the flag for offensive pass interference.
I don't.
I mean,
let me tell you something. I was my poor kid sleeping. My wife's to my couch. You know, she's on her phone, and I just yelled. I was like, "What are the expletive? Is it you're doing? Pay the expletive attention." And my wife's like, what is going on? I'm like, she jumped. I'm like, what is this guy doing? I'm like, I lost it. I mean, and you were just saying it was painful. It reminded me of one of Todd's favorite moments.
Because it's too painful. It's painful for coaches, for players, and for people, for fans. It's painful. Put something in it or do away with it. One or the other. That's what they should do.
Yep, that's Tommy West back in the day. It's painful. No, I mean, look, here's the thing. It's, you know, we can say, hey, Jameis, I stop it. Dude, the lack of playmaking by those receivers. There was that one drive, right, where we're going right to left in the third quarter. Jameis threw two beautiful deep balls. It hit the receiver in the hands. He got to make the catch. Stills and White. I mean, you got to make the catch, man. It's the NFL. I mean, I can go out there when there's no one around me and catch it. Can you make the catch with the safety? And then, you know, I'm saying, well, Jamal Adams made a great play. What great play? Kenny Stills needs to catch that. I mean, there's no great play. It hit his hands. I mean, if you're going to get hit, and he didn't even get hit. So, no, I was just absolute. I was yelling. And then Adam Trautman, what are you doing? I mean, I don't know who told him, but trying to do your best Jared Cook impression is not a good thing. Yeah. So
there it is. Goose, is there anybody? Look, and this Sunday, and hopefully whoever we got coming back, I hope we got some more guys coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky. Vegas knows something, Goose. The line's 4.5. You would think it'd be a little more than that with Tampa coming in the way they're playing. It's going to be a close game. Our defense is playing lights out, and Anya Mata's coming back. I think it's going to be a close. But Goose, we need. Is Peyton out there? You think he's like, hey man, Mickey? Is there somebody that we can go get? Or are they going to play with the hand they dealt with? I mean, what do you think, Goose? I mean,
there is no doubt. There is no doubt that they are absolutely looking at everything and everything. I'm going to say on that 5-hour flight home, they did anything and everything to try and just see what's out there. I'm not being overly critical. I don't think I'm exaggerating by saying, oh, it was just a tough game or so. No, that's as bad a receiving group in the NFL. And again, I'm not ripping. Callaway's a perfect 3 or 4 receiver, right? I mean, you see, he has nice hands, but can you get open and get away from somebody, right? When you need to, right. And like I said, it's not being ugly. It's just, I'm being a realist.
It is.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't have Deontay Harris. You don't have Taysom Hill. Look, I mean, those are massive weapons. Deontay Harris is your deep threat. He's a guy that can spread the field, take the top off of it, right? And Taysom Hill on a lot of those short yard situations, there wouldn't be Jameis Winston sneaks. And then that goal line situation, it's probably going to Taysom Hill play. I mean, those are two other weapons there. I mean, last night, I know it was ugly, and I think a lot of people were focused on, well, I thought Seattle was bad. Dude, do you see what Sean Payton went into that game with? I mean, again, I've said this, Uncle Earl, several times this season. If Sean Payton gets this team into the playoffs, it will be his greatest coaching season ever.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the Super Bowl team was stacked. The Super Bowl team played incredible, all right? I mean, you had Hall of Famer Drew Brees in his prime. Like, you could have won and with coaching. I mean, that they had built to that moment. They are literally, I don't know, they're like bubble gumming and, you know, sticky gluing the season together. It's by the week. It's who's playing, who's available. How did we get this win? Who's stepping up and playing above their minds like DeMario Davis? You know, Marcus Davenport played really well yesterday. I mean, we still haven't had a game where we had Davenport and Peyton Turner both healthy for a while. I mean, so, you know, because he didn't play Peyton Turner. By the way, David Onyemata comes this week, so that should help. I want to see this team, which is why I said, man, Buffalo, Thanksgiving. Let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hopefully.
Dude, real quick, is Thomas coming back this week, or that's a no-go at all?
I don't know.
I don't know. Thomas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Deontay Harris, is he coming back 100% this week? They keep telling me yes, but.
But, you know, here's the thing. It's a hamstring. So did they say, let's give it one more week this past week? Is that what they tried to
do? Hey, real quick, Goose, this is what I'm afraid of. You know, we tried to run the screen and, you know, in a championship game. Well, not championship game, in the playoffs. Tampa's linebackers are too fast, and plus they know we're going to run this. We need to get the ball downfield, and I don't know what the hell we're going to do with the receivers we got. But, man, hey, Goose. Mm-hmm. The defense is playing lights out, man. Look, the corners, Marcus Wade's on that one play, but the defense is playing lights out, you know. But the whole – who's got to sit the bench for me? The whole wide receiver, the whole crew. The whole crew, for the wide receivers that sit on the bench, and my game ball is going to be DeMario Davis. It's got to be. I mean, Kamara had a good game. And look, Goose, besides DeMario Davis and Kamara, our punter, man, is this kid.
He's awesome, isn't he?
He's lights out, man, and he can split. He can turn the field over. I'm telling you, Goose, it's going to be a close game this weekend. Let's keep it close and pull it out. Always a good show, man. Love you, Goose.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for the time. There he is, Uncle Earl, 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation here, here's quarterback Jameis Winston after the game on basically the talk that we saw with Traquan Smith. I'm with Uncle Earl. I mean, look, Traquan caught a ball. The rest of that game was absolutely forgettable. And cameras caught him, Jameis Winston, you know, lighting into him. And quite honestly, every single Saints fan was probably pointing to TV, you know, like the GIF from Wolf of Wall Street going, yes, yes, get him, get him. Absolutely. Wake up. I don't know. I mean, line up the right way. I mean, that was based off of him not lining up right. And if you want to give me your legs aren't there, if you want to give me the timing's not there, if you want to give me, hey, I haven't caught a pass from Jameis Winston in 4 months there, fine. Not knowing where you're lining up, you've been here 4 years. Gus, it's his first game. I get it. Not knowing how to line up. Well, maybe it's a new play. Not knowing how to line up. And then the nerve to walk away from your quarterback? Because you don't want to hear it? I mean, that demeanor, that body language screamed, he knew he was having a bad game, and he just didn't want to hear it at that moment. And I love two things from that. I love my quarterback addressing it right then and there. Right then and there. And at the end of the game, saying this.
No, just communication. We had to be on the same page, and that's it.
Done. That's what you do. Have that discussion in the locker room. Have that discussion on the sideline. Get the follow-ups. You get all that other stuff. Don't worry about it. It's corrected. And they came back to him later, and he threw it, and he caught the ball, and it was a big catch. But I love that. I love, hey, sometimes the guy needs to wake up. You like to think everybody's on. You never know. But that's the job of a captain. That's the job of your quarterback. And he did what he had to do. And what I liked about it was Sean Payton, you see him looking back. He sees it being addressed. He turns around and continues coaching the game. He let that guy address it. I love that. And you know what? As much as I'm giving him beef, and he should for his play, at least he caught the ball on that drive that wound up winning the game. So you showed me a little something that you were having an absolutely dreadful game. But for at least that one play, you're focused enough and you caught the ball. It didn't come in cleanly now, but he caught it. He caught it near sideline. It led to the field goal. So again, this team's pretty strong, man. And I like that. I like seeing the signs of leadership and growth from Jameis. I really do. He missed that play, and you saw it on the sideline. He knew it. Anyway, Eric Alexander, national champ, world champ with the Tigers and Patriots. He's up next on ESPN New Orleans.
I can see a new horizon underneath the blazing sky. I'll be where the eagles flying high.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadieville. It's a win, 13-10 the finals. The Saints improved to 4-2 on the season. Head coach Sean Payton.
It was a good win. Obviously, always a tough place to play on the road, dealing with the noise. Thought our defense really played well after the one explosive. You know, we knew it was going to be one of those games that field position was going to be important. Ball security was going to be important.
Running back Alvin Kamara was the offense. 20 carries for 51 yards, 10 receptions for 128, including a score.
I ain't know what to expect. All I know is what we game plan for and what we did during the week. And, you know, every game has a life of its own. So that was just the flavor of this week.
The defense led by DeMario Davis's 10 tackles, 2 sacks, 4 tackles for loss. The Saints defense overall, 5 sacks, including Cam Jordan. Jordan's first of the season.
In a game like this, where things get close, things get a little ugly towards the end, it builds confidence to be able to come into a game like this and close it out the way we did. In my mind, it wasn't as close as it was. I think that our defense played with a lot of speed and intensity and the right mindset the entire game.
Next up, the division-leading Buccaneers on Halloween in a 3:25 kickoff in the Dome. For more on the Black and Golds, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa know-how.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
Imagine it, a first-class resort in Slidell on the lakefront called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. We're talking up to 250 rooms and St. Tammany's first real convention center, big enough for special events, weddings, or even Mardi Gras balls. Relax at the luxury spa, swimming pools, or drift in the lazy river. And listen to this. An outdoor amphitheater will bring major concerts to Slidell and get used for community events too, like graduations and farmers markets. Eat it up at 7 different restaurants, from casual to fine dining, even a brand new Slidell marina. Pull up in your boat and get in on the fun. Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Together, we make it happen by voting yes. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Get more information at thenorthshorewinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Eric Alexander on the On Deck Circle. We'll talk to him about the Ole Miss game, LSU's bye week, and the rest of the storylines in the SEC. Is it LaJaya, sir? Is it, I want to go to you first.
Yeah, what's up, Goose?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Oh, not doing all right. So what, Marcus Williams must have thought a ghost of Stephon Diggs when he saw DK coming at him last night, I guess.
Huh? Dude, tell me he didn't play that play like he didn't want to hit him. I mean, come on.
Ooh. Man, it was ridiculous. It looked just like he backed off. He almost looked like he backed off.
He stopped. He came to a stop. I don't understand. Like, literally, I don't understand what he was slowing down for. If he goes at the speed he's going to, he has the angle. He's going to absolutely pelee him out of bounds. He's going to hit him. At the very least, he can shove him. He's on the sideline. Why'd you bring it up?
Did you see the play of Griffin where he backed off at a block? Look, there was a run to the right with Kamara, and the tight end Griffin was supposed to block whoever, the right defensive end, and he just completely backed off on it. Look, you know whose play was awesome last night that he's not getting a lot of credit is? Paulson Adebo.
Yeah.
He been played good all really year, good. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Winston, let me tell you what I think about Winston. And I know you noticed this last night,
sure,
too. What did he do in the 2-minute offense right before halftime? He drove down the field and we scored a touchdown, huh?
Bingo.
Look, it just seemed to me like when that pace is a little more picked up, he gets kind of in a rhythm and he makes some things happen. Now, I know the playmakers, you know, need to step up a little bit, but when Winston kind of gets in a little groove and he gets a little pressure under him, it seems like he starts to make more things happen. And I think Peyton took notice of that last night. I hope he did. And maybe for future games, maybe try and pick up the offensive pace a little more, or almost like a 2-minute offense. And it kind of looked like it gave him a little more of a rhythm, you know?
I hear you, man. Like I said, a win is a win, that is for sure, man.
Oh, look, when Winston threw Troutman the ball last night, I immediately sunk down in my couch because I knew he was going to do something terrible. But because I saw
I saw Kamara doing jumping jacks on the other side of the screen, waving his hands because he was so wide open. I guess Winston felt bad. He wanted to give somebody else the opportunity to make a play because he was riding Kamara's wheels off. I mean, and then once Troutman got it, I knew something terrible was going to happen.
Yeah, well, tell you what, man. Thank you for the thanks for the phone call, man, because I know my next guest here, Eric Alexander, who played linebacker over there at LSU and on the defensive side. Eric, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gus. How are you?
This is an easy game plan if you're the Buccaneers, right? Follow 41. I mean, basically, you're dating 41. Wherever he goes, you're going with him because he's the Saints' offense right now, sir.
That's what you would think, man. But I'm sure Sean and that offense, they'll come up with something, and the Bucs will struggle with something. Some little wrinkle, and it's just how it always happens, man. They'll have some little wrinkle in the game plan that Buccaneers will struggle with. That's going to be a good game, though. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll say this, man. One of the things that is interesting when you look at the NFL and just really where you see a lot of times in teams that win or lose, Eric, and you heard me refer to the caller there, it's a look, I'm looking at the plane right now. They're basically passing Aspen in Colorado, the Saints, as they left and stayed overnight. So they're still got about another 2 hours before they land here. That's a long plane ride, but it's a plane ride that you will not feel after a win like that. You've been involved in some games that maybe weren't pretty or didn't, you know, go incredible, but maybe the defense led the way. And are those the most satisfying ones?
Yeah, I mean, you can't speak enough about the performance of that defense. It was the exact definition of dominating, right? Besides one big play, I mean, they being the Seattle Seahawks, did nothing outside of that one big play. So, I mean, you know, I liken it to the year we went undefeated with the Patriots. Like, they weren't all blowouts. Like, we had to win some ugly games. I remember playing in a Baltimore game. I think it may have been a Monday or Sunday night. It may have been the same game where Bart Scott got that the meme, the can't wait meme. He did it after that game. But anyway, it was cold. It was windy. It was probably a little rainy. And you know, any way we could to squeeze it out, find a win, keep that streak alive. You know, we were happy to do it. So yeah, it feels good to win some ugly games sometimes. But a win is a win, as they say.
No doubt. Speak with Eric Alexander at EA_LSU Tiger as he won a national championship with LSU and a world championship with the Patriots. I'll ask you one more NFL thing tidbit, man, when you look at it too, because it involves some Tigers. I was watching Sunday Ticket and I just was enthralled, man, by what I was watching with the Bengals and Ravens. You're seeing growth. And also though, Eric, you and I have talked about this, the importance of coaching. I thought Zach Taylor is showing growth from year one. Last year, it was just Burrow, drop back and pass and fling it everywhere. I argued, go get Ja'Marr Chase because a good quarterback who knows where he's going will get rid of the football and make a okay offensive line better. But if you have a weapon that can score, you're seeing that. Are you surprised Ja'Marr Chase is the fastest to, you know, the 700 yards that he's had more than anybody else as a rookie in the NFL, and the impact that he had, and really with Burrow's doing? I mean, the Bengals are legit.
Yeah, they are, man. They are playing some good ball the first seven games of the season. You know, I'm surprised, but and this is the reason I'm surprised of Ja'Marr Chase's success so far this year is because he took a whole year off. Remember, he didn't play his senior year. And, you know, so it's a year. I mean, so whatever he did in that time to stay ready, stay in shape, to prepare for this year, I mean, it was unbelievable. Because, I mean, I know if I had a year away from football, and I don't know where my focus would have been. So it's a great testament to him and his ability to stay focused and stay training and get his body right for NFL season. But yeah, the chemistry, you could tell they picked up right where they left off in 2019, because they've been connecting on all cylinders. And in this, you know, obviously we still have 10 more games to go in the regular season. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can continue with what they've been doing. But it's been nice to watch. It's been pretty, man. It's been awesome, though. And then you know, they already have that in place, so maybe they can start just thinking about bolstering that offensive line and get the running game going more, and it's just going to open up even more things for Joe and Chase.
I would say one of the things that's just as impressive as the deep runs or that play where he spun out of three tackles in Baltimore and took it to the house was the play where he blocked, right, for his running back to lead for a touchdown. I mean, that just kind of shows the unselfishness. You just don't see that from star receivers, unfortunately, a lot of times. And look, they're focusing on catching the football, but to see him be the lead blocker for a big run touchdown is just as big. At @EA_LSU Tiger, one more NFL from the defensive side, sir. Who would you not like to play against right now? These are all MVP candidates. I mean, I think this year's defense or quarterback MVP candidates are insane. Brady, Rodgers. You could throw in, I guess, maybe Burrow, maybe even Lamar Jackson there as well. I mentioned what? Brady, Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott. Of all of those candidates, is there one that you really don't want to face? Kyler Murray still looks tough right now, dude.
Yeah. I mean, out of all of those, I would want to play the guy who's the least mobile. So it would be Brady. I mean, we kind of like the formula is kind of out on how to pressure him, right?
Uh-huh.
You bring pressure up the middle, get in his face, make him uncomfortable. It's the guys who can run around that scare me. So like Lamar and Kyler, like, guys who extend plays with their legs, like those would be the quarterbacks that would scare me, because they'll scramble. Some guy will uncover downfield, and before you know it, it's a 70-yard bomb for a touchdown. So I would be more leery of those dudes than anything.
Let's get over to college football. Speak with Eric Alexander, part of LSU Game Day Live. He joins us on Tuesdays when we don't forget about you, Eric, and we didn't today.
Yay.
Look, LSU Ole Miss, it is what it is, man. Started out hot. Ole Miss made adjustments. Tigers just couldn't stay there. Is that really kind of what you saw? They opened up. They could have been up 14-0. It looked like second quarter, Ole Miss figured some things out, and LSU didn't counter it. Is that a fair assessment to look at it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can put it any better than that, Gus. I mean, you know, you hold them to 2-3 and out to start the game. You go down and you score. Then you're on the brink of scoring again, and then being up 14-0. I mean, it's just, and then everything after that just went downhill. Like, you did nothing, literally nothing right after that. I think they just lost all the momentum when they couldn't push it in down on their goal at Ole Miss's goal line, man. And it's terrible. It sucks. Like, I felt bad. I mean, I just didn't really know what to think. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Ole Miss made the adjustments that they needed to make. And LSU had no answer for their run game. We couldn't run the ball. We couldn't protect. We couldn't catch. We couldn't do anything right outside of those first, couple of drives, especially on offense.
Eric, look, you have a bye week here, and we all know what's coming up next, and it's Alabama. So take us in the locker room. If you're one of those players this year, it's about still, and we talked about this last week, right, putting something on tape, making sure that people see that you're still playing hard and things of that nature. Is that your focus here this next bye week?
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, we know that Coach Ogeron won't be there next year, but somebody will. Somebody will be coaching, and you'll be a part of the team. So right now you're, I guess, auditioning, so to speak, for the next head coach in line. So if I was anybody who, was an underclassman and planned on being back next year, I'll definitely be trying to put my best effort in any way I could. And sometimes, I mean, I know guys are trying hard. I mean, it looked like they are, but just the results aren't being had on the field, or the results they want anyway. And I guess it all, that's why we're having a coaching change next year, because it seems like they have trouble making in-game adjustments. They're still, in the critical moments of the game, the You know, the plays where you got to have a first down, you got to have a touchdown. Like, we knew we had to score mm-hmm. when we got in the red area. Going into this game, LSU was 19 for 19 in scoring points when they got into the red area. Mm. And then that one time they didn't right. score right. basically changed the whole shape of the game.
Yeah, no doubt. Taking a look ahead this weekend, while the Tigers and Tide are off, Missouri and Vandy will play. Georgia, Florida, the old cocktail party. Sir, over there in Jacksonville, who you like in this one? Georgia, 14-point favorite.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. You
Dude,
know,
they've given up four touchdowns all season. You know that. Georgia.
Four. They're sick. That especially that defensive front is like unreal. They look like, you know, players that were just made. Somebody's like being funny in a video game, just made creative players on that defensive front. I think that's accurate, but I mean, I think that Florida can score, mm-hmm. Especially with if they decide to go with AR-15 there at quarterback, number 15, mm-hmm. instead of Emory Jones. I mean, he's definitely a dynamic quarterback who can take over a game really, really single-handedly with his legs. But, yeah, I just think overall, ultimately, that Georgia defense is going to be too strong, and it's just not going to be enough time for them to do anything with the ball, especially the way Georgia likes to play offense with their ball control offense.
Number 10, Ole Miss. Number 18, Auburn. The Tigers are favored by 3. I feel like the last 2-3 weeks, everyone's been like, oh, Auburn can't win. Bo Nix. I almost feel like that play by Bo Nix at LSU has reawakened him, and Auburn all of a sudden looks tough. I mean, they've done nothing but win since. And I got to be honest with you, in the SEC, obviously, with the schedule, but I think this is a game to watch 6 o'clock at ESPN.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it, yeah. You can go back to when they benched Bo Nix in that first quarter of the LSU game when he wasn't playing so hot. He came back in. He has been a different quarterback ever since that moment. And it's all about, I think, especially playing that position, it's all about having confidence in yourself, having confidence in your ability. And it seems like, you know, I don't want to say LSU gave it to him, but he earned it that night, and he's just continued that play since that game. So that'll be a good one. You know, this is going to come down to who Auburn's run defense, which, you know, they're really good. They're really good, but as you saw last week, and it's a reason why Ole Miss is the number one rushing team in the SEC, is because they know how to run the ball. They create angles and they scheme up plays to be able to get, you know, run plays, run yards, big runs, and big plays in the run game as well. I mean, they picked up 3rd and 19, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12 mm-hmm. against LSU on run plays.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You think of the lane train, and you think of Corral, and you think of a aerial passing assault, but they can do it both, man. It's going to be fun to see. Kentucky, Mississippi State, the other game, 6 o'clock on the SEC Network, 10 seconds. Any shot the Cowbells can upset the Wildcats here at home?
I doubt it. I mean, like I said, we know how to beat Mississippi State. Everybody does. Texas A&M didn't this year, but we know how to play defense against the book's out, so mm-hmm. I really can't see Mississippi State scoring enough points or scoring any, you know, points to win.
Yeah, especially Kentucky's got a pretty good defense. So at @EA_LSU Tigers, the way to follow Eric Alexander. We'll be off this weekend as LSU is off for LSU Game Day Live, but he'll be back at it talking Tigers and Tide in 2 weeks. Thank you, EA. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, Gus. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Yep, appreciate it, and we will not forget about you, I promise, anymore, including next Tuesday. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Alexander, world champ, national champ. Quick break, we'll come back. It's the Sports Hangover, and you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community. With a fresh new inventory arriving daily and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles. If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help.
Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are Homa Strong.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Ida was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message is provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Key, I heard you tried out for the NHL since it's back on ESPN. Is this true?
Yes, I did. They had me try out in the middle of the night the other night. I didn't tell anybody, though. I just figured, hey, why not? You know, maybe I'll go out and throw the first puck out or something one day or whatever. Or is it drop the puck? Which one is it?
Throw the puck out? What do you think? That's a puck toss.
Yeah, toss. Today. Drop the puck.
Key, J, and Max. Mornings on ESPN Radio.
Got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
That's a sign of a team that eventually you know how to win and to win and to win and to win, and that becomes everything.
Yep. I'm a plain dork. Sorry. But the Saints are passing Pueblo, Colorado, just south of Colorado Springs. Still an hour, 57 minutes away from landing back safely over at Louis Armstrong Airport. Team staying overnight in Seattle. I only bring that up, A, because I am a plane geek and I'm following it, but also just to kind of let you know, I mean, it's 2:40 already on Tuesday, and it's a short week already on this team. Remember Alvin Kamara yesterday, we were playing the sound from over the weekend in which he said, I don't like Monday night football games. You're losing a day. Where they're not only losing a day because they play on Monday Night Football, they're really losing a day. They're in the airplane most of the day. Now, I'm assuming the team probably had team meetings in the morning, probably like you would have today. You wouldn't go into practice regardless today, a day after a game. But, you know, maybe the coaches last night, again, being able to stay there because it was, you know, 2 hours behind. So they probably could have stayed up to, you know, 12, 1, 2 in the morning, setting up, knowing kind of initial stages of your game plan, kind of having initial understanding what you want to do, probably doing some stuff on the airplane as well on this flight back, but you are really losing a day. Now, you can do stuff on the plane. Everyone has the technology. That thing has Wi-Fi. It's a 777. It's United. It's all that stuff. But, you know, and you can shoot that out to everyone's, you know, iPads or whatever and start getting that. But that, I'm assuming that's what you're doing on a 5 hour flight. You know, you're doing all that stuff and looking at Tampa's game last week. You're doing all those different aspects. Tomorrow you got to get into it. And it's the first day of practice tomorrow. So probably a lighter practice, maybe Thursday and Friday you go harder. You got to recover. That was a tough physical game, but now you can see why Alvin Kamara was not that excited about the game Monday. You got the vision leading Tampa Bay coming in over the weekend on Sunday. Cajun Goat, thank you for giving us a call, sir. How about that Monday night for you? The Pelicans get a win. Saints get a win. That now it feels good, huh?
Man, it feels good. It's a great day, Gus. I didn't think the Pelicans would get a win this fast. But, man, it was great. And the Pelicans had to deal with the same thing as the Saints, poor officiating. Yeah. It was horrible officiating in that game. That was terrible, Gus. That was worse than the Saints game, I would say. I like the rotations that he's doing. I'm still in agreement with you with putting on with the second team, but I thought they played well last night as far as the rotations. I want to say that was Willie Green's, his best rotations he's done so far.
Yeah.
And maybe he was just feeling out in those first games. He's kind of making you feel that way now after watching, what he had on the floor. I'm still not a big fan of Garrett Temple. When he gets on the floor, it just seems like other teams either catch up or get away. And I'm going to say one more thing about that one. Whenever the kid from Minnesota started coming back on us with he started finally scoring. It's because
Anthony Edwards, yeah.
Jones wasn't
He's
in the game.
He's big, huh?
Yeah,
I didn't realize Anthony Edwards was
And then
so
when Jones, now when Jones came back in, he shut that down kind of quick.
Dude, Herbert Jones
Those
right
show
now.
You how good Jones
I've seen
playing.
So many people posting on our, you know, our question of the day. I just saw one earlier, somebody talking about Jones and the type of, you know, start he's had, man. It's really been, I mean, incredible. Like, he's just, I mean, think of who's guarded already this season. Like, they're putting him one-on-one with Zach LaVine, Anthony Edwards. I mean, they're just, here you go. You know, here's your best player, and go do it. But I like what I'm seeing, and he's sort of learning. And you see him learn in the game. I think that's the thing that really gets it up. Here's what Willie Green had to say last night again on Herb. There was a thing that Shamit Dua posted yesterday, and it was a series of plays where he just absolutely, he called him a straitjacket. He shut down two players trying to drive to the net, and it turned out to be a turnover for the Pelicans. But here's Coach on Herb.
Herb Jones is a basketball player. You can put him in any position on the floor. He knows all the plays. He can execute at a high level. His defense is off the charts. And he's just going to continue to grow into a really, really good basketball player for us in the future. I'm so proud of what he's doing, but he puts the work in every single day. He's in there working along with the other guys.
It's good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, Gus, the most amazing thing that people won't recognize, I know he didn't score, but the thing, other things that the guy does really contributes to a win. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is when he swapped out on a five, mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw him sticking Carl Anthony Towns, but Carl Anthony Towns was in a straight jacket. He couldn't do nothing against Jones, and this is a seven-footer. This dude is so lengthy, so long, and he's playing great ball, man. And I watch the game, and I hate when he goes out, but, I mean, he has to go out. But, I mean, the kid just gives you so much when he's on the floor, you know? He still makes rookie mistakes with his passing and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that'll get cured as he goes through the season. And I think shots will come. Well, you know, I'm sure Fred Vision got him in the gym working on those shots. Once those shots start coming with this kid, man, we got us another little superstar coming up right there, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, the more you see it makes sense, especially as you mentioned the length and all of that. And look, it stinks, but look, he got 27, 22, 21, 17 from the other four starters. He didn't score, but it's crazy how stats may not tell the whole story. If I just pulled up the box score, I'm like, he had a terrible game. 32 minutes, 0 points. You didn't watch it. If you watched the game, he had a hell of a game. They just, you know, that's.
And they actually, the referee stole his 2 points, Gus.
Yeah. Imagine that.
And they tried to call him for a travel.
Imagine that. Dude, I just want to know, because I got to go to break real quick, but Cajun, go, and then I'll come to Jack after the break. But Cajun, tell me that you didn't watch that game last night with the Saints, too, and just, I mean, it really honestly felt like you were battling the officiating.
I felt like the Saints had about three or four Devery Hendersons when he first couldn't catch the ball. Mm-hmm. He would get wide open because he was so fast, but then he can't catch the ball. There was like three plays where those guys were open and Jameis just stuck it in a window, and those guys couldn't hold on to the ball.
And look, it helps confidence and it hurts confidence at the same time. They make those plays, Jameis is like fling it and wing it, you know, and you can see it when he wants to just let it go, he can. And I think he gets in trouble when he tries to be careful with the ball, like a pitcher trying to make sure you throw a strike and not a ball when the bases are loaded and you have three on you, you know? Thank you, Cajun Goat. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, buddy. Have a great day, Gus.
For sure. Bye. Quick break, Jack. I'll come right to you. It's the Sports Hangover. Final segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
She's got it. Yeah, baby.
Calvin Braxton Ford is your brand new car dealer in Lockport, Louisiana. They cannot wait for you to stop in and take a look at their big town inventory and small town prices. Schedule your test drive today and let one of their trained sales staff help you every step of the way. Their skilled management team ensures that you'll have a phenomenal experience, whether it be sales, service, parts, or financing. Ford, the number one brand in America. Stop by today at Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless,
vulnerable and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ory.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Jack, thank you for holding on, sir, through the break. How are you today?
Hey, Gus, how you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, look, as far as the Saints game goes last night, did you watch the Manning cast? Because thank
I
God
did.
For Peyton and Eli.
Dude, I'm telling you, the Manning cast is must-watch television. Like, I don't know if you throw in a moderator and sort of in the middle there to sort of do it and, like, make that the primetime cast. I like what they're doing. The reaction has been fantastic, and having Drew Brees in that final drive and those three Hall of Fame quarterbacks going back and forth, yeah, I said Eli's a Hall of Famer. And you're looking at it, dude, it was so insightful. My wife was riveted. Like, she didn't pay attention most of the game, just kind of in and out, oh, did they score, whatever. And when we put it on, and I noticed that he was going to be on for that final drive, and he was on the last 5-6 minutes of the game, she couldn't stop. She was laughing, you know, hearing Peyton talk about and all that, and then dissecting different plays. Where do you go with that? I loved it. I think it's fantastic. And you could see poor Breeze was excruciatingly watching that last drive. Right. He probably looked at it and said, "Jack, I see 5 touchdowns right now."
Well, especially the last screen pass that he missed.
I mean, dude, you saw him side eye.
Eli could have made that throw. I mean, the guy walks into the end zone. It's just unbelievable. And look, did you catch beast mode early? Did you catch beast mode early? He was the first guest.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, the first, I would say anywhere between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, you'd be lucky to get me. That's putting the kid down, coming out of the bath, dinner, brushing the teeth, and telling stories. So yeah, I didn't get to see the first guest. But what did he say?
Well, okay, Gus. They asked him Peyton asked him early in the interview. He goes, of course they're watching the game. It's like guys watching the game at home. He asked him, he goes, I heard a rumor that you took a shot of Hennessy before every game. Mm-hmm. So Beast Mode goes, yeah. Marshawn, you know, he goes, yeah, well, I did that. And Peyton goes, well, what about tonight? And he goes, well, I took 3. One for you, one for me, and one for Eli. And so you could tell he was a little drunk. And then there was a play, I can't remember, it was either by the Saints or by the Seahawks that he didn't agree with, mm-hmm. and he let go of WTF. Okay, and then so they go to commercial. When they come back, he's gone, and Peyton's apologizing about the profanity. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, guys. I think they ought to just put a disclaimer because basically, like,
oh, they do.
Guys sitting around.
Yeah. No, they curse on there. I mean, you know, it's cable. I mean, you'll see them say that stuff. It's great, or they'll use innuendo and everything. I love it. I'm with you. Like I said, to me, that's must watch. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, to me, it's just, it's you got to watch it, man. It's absolutely awesome. I love watching it.
And Gus, one last thing. I think the Seahawks should hire you as a defensive assistant. And this is why. You know, you said all during the summer that you were an opposing defense. The one person you can't let beat you was Alvin Kamara. How did they let him go 90 yards in 2 minutes? Basically, the Alvin Kamara show. I mean, I'm glad they did, but I just don't understand. When nobody else on the field can beat you, you let that happen.
dude. I'm with you. Like I said, look, and here's the thing. It's going to be the storyline starting tomorrow, right? Devin White's coming to town. And, I mean, Devin White is the anti-Alvin Kamara defensive player in the NFL. Alvin Kamara does not have very good games against Tampa, against him. And it's because the second the guy touches the ball, here comes Devin White peeling him. I mean, it just, so they're going to have to do something else. I mean, I would be absolutely shocked. Because here's the problem. And again, I know who they've played, and you can tell me, like, Brady is playing incredible football, and the other guys are playing good football. And this is not Saints fans breathe. They're a better team. They have better weapons at receiver. One player, Mike Evans, is better than anybody the Saints have right now. When they have Evans and Brown and Gronkowski and Fournette, they're just a better offensive team. So you're going to have to score. I know the Saints defense is playing well, but to think you're holding them to 10 points, it's just, I mean, I'd like to see it, but again, the Saints are going to have to score, Jack.
Gus, they have two kids on the bench at wide receiver who can't get into the game, who I promise you could start for the Saints. One of them's from Minnesota. I can't remember the kid's name because they played in the playoffs last year when a couple of the receivers were hurt.
But I hear you, man.
Right, I agree with you. Have a good day. Thank you.
Right, take care, bud. Matt Moscone, and after further review, is up next. I was trying to look it up. The song Hallelujah. Governor, about to talk at 3 o'clock. He's expected to relax the mask mandate. That's good news. See you tomorrow on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome to Parent Teacher Night. Oh, yes, Miss Garner.
If you have one of those airline credit cards, you're probably...